geek brethren, you have come to the right place for all of your gaming, gadgets, technology, anime, video games, comic books, and anything else you can think of. It is GeekSpeak here at SpeakGeekSpeak.com. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, live from Brooklyn, New York, Ian Levenstein. Everybody, my name is Ian Levenstein, and welcome to GeekSpeak here on Brooklyn College Radio 1090 AM and streaming the web at brooklyncollegeradio.org. And of course, we are podcasting here at SpeakGeekSpeak.com. Episode 38 of the GeekSpeak podcast is getting started right about now. And once again, joined for the second week in a row. Oh my God, it's a record. Two in a row with this man. What the hell is happening here, Brian Barrientos? What's going on?
I'm stalking you.
Yes, you are. You're everywhere and nowhere. Ooh, how freakily scary is that? Back from my vacation, I was gone for about a week's time. I was in Boston and Massachusetts, and I'll tell you all about that. I'm going to have my review of Anime Boston 2006 for you folks, the huge anime convention on the East Coast, probably the largest one, second to Anime Next, and Otakon. There you go. Otakucon, right, exactly. Otakon. Otakucon's actually a second one. There's Otakon and there's Otakucon. Very creative.
Isn't Otakon the guy from Edgar?
No, that's Otakon.
Okay, whatever.
That's close, though. You came very close with that, and you get a cookie for that. Also, we've got a whole bunch of tech news for you as well. Skype is teaming up with Dell for faster VoIP calls. Is this the end of Skype? Does this mean that Skype is selling out, or does this just mean that they're really, really good businessmen? That would be the question. Lawrence Cell Phone Companies. That's right. In Lawrence, of all places, I'm exactly trying to find out. Yeah, Lawrence, Kansas. That's where this is. They are trying to ban cell phones entirely on the road. That will cripple people and at the same time will probably save a couple lives. Is this a good idea? Is this a bad idea? Is this a stupid idea? We'll figure that out as well. Also, the fact that the Pirate Bay has officially been shut down. Is it against the law in Sweden? It certainly is, but is it against the law everywhere else? Not really, and that's the whole reason why this baby got shut down. Also, we have news coming out about a Super Mario Brothers you might not have expected, taking the original Super Mario Brothers and bringing it to the 3D world. That's right, 2D Super Mario Brothers set in a 3D landscape. We have some shots of that, and we have some ideas on that, and Google is not making a web browser.
Aww.
Exactly. Very upset about that. I really am. And last but not least, Tom Cruise tries to kill everybody. We'll get into that later on. But let's start off with my review of Anime Boston 2006. Now, before I do that, tell us a little bit about Anime Boston 2005. You didn't go this year, but you went last year. And I know you have very strong opinions on the city of Boston itself. Now, I don't want you to alienate anybody who might be listening in Boston, but at the same time, please let us know about your experience.
The convention itself wasn't too bad.
Okay.
I almost got into like three fights in Boston.
Really? Now were these in fights with people at the convention or were these people outside?
Well, two of them were actually one of them was really a fight. It was sort of an incident involving a bum and these women. And
okay,
it's a long story.
Now, see, that sounds like the start of a joke, but let's not go down that.
And
route.
The other one, you were there for that one.
Well, yes. Yeah. Oh, that was great. And actually, that's something that I definitely want to mention because this year we were actually afraid it was going to happen again, but luckily it didn't. When we first got to Boston, okay, we get into the elevator, and in the elevator, this is last year. This is you, me, Christina, a friend of ours, and I think Mike was in the elevator also.
And Marvin.
Yeah, and Marvin who has been on the show before, the host of Redshift Radio. And we were all in there and we're talking, you know, casually. And us being college students, we like to curse. All right. It's a given. Us being from New York, we really like to curse. But the fact remains, we're in there and we're talking and all that. Some guy in a business suit who happens to be in the elevator with us turns to us and says, "Excuse me, watch your language. There's women in the vicinity." The fact remains, Christina probably curses more than both of us combined, so it was actually very amusing to hear this, and of course, as soon as he came out, we just started cursing more.
It was funny, because he doesn't realize how close to death he was.
Exactly. He was very close to death, for that matter, but you know what? He survived, so good for him. I hope.
So did we.
Exactly. We survived as well, and all was good there. Also, the first year I went, before you went, the year before that, I ran into somebody who I hadn't seen in about, it must have been like 4 years, and he used to live right around the corner from me. Here in Brooklyn, and it took me going to Boston to run into him, which is kind of odd. But, you know, the fact remains, 2006 was a lot of fun, and I'll get to my basically my 3-day report here. Now, day one, We get there around 12:30, it must have been, and it took us about maybe 40 minutes to get there because we were going slow this time. I mean, you know, last time we were rushing like nobody's business. Yeah. This time we wanted to take it slow and easy. So we got there. I'd say we got to the convention about like 1:10, something like that. Checked in. We were staying across the street this time. Like last time we actually stayed at the convention hotel, which was the Sheraton. This time we stayed at the Hilton. Now, their daughters might be stupid, but the hotel itself was really, really nice, I got to say. It was actually much nicer than last year's was. We check in. I head on over to pick up my girlfriend at Massachusetts, I believe it was, North Station. And from there, I head on over and all that and all's well. We get to the convention. We register. And I got to say, registration this year went by very fast. They had many more people set up this time. The registration room was actually in a very different place.
Oh, really?
Yeah, last year it was actually
on the third floor?
Yeah, it was in the third floor of the actual convention center. This year it was actually in the hotel.
Oh, that's cool.
Okay, which is actually a good idea there. And actually, the game room was switched also. It was in and this is the best part. It was in a ventilated room.
With windows. Awesome.
Yeah, exactly. So it was in a ventilated room in the hotel. It was in a side room of the hotel before you get into the actual convention center. It was a very large room. Not too many games, though. It was mostly just fighting games and one version of DDR, which was actually in the Groove 2.
Yeah, that's all you need.
Exactly, which is all you really need. But it was very spacious, and that was very good. But to go off track for a second here, let me get back on. We actually, when we go there, we register, all's well, we get in there. The one thing that I realized immediately was that there were very little panels that first day, which actually upset me because last year there were a lot more panels that actually interest me. This year there were mostly industry panels, and there were a couple of panels that were mostly for the major otaku. I guess that's the way to put it. Like there was actually Final Fantasy Philosophy at one point.
Oh God!
Which actually, I was half interested to go in there and see what it was like, but we ended up not doing so.
Stop.
Yeah, exactly. But we spent almost a Friday wandering. Didn't really do too much. We went to the Whose Line Is It Anime, which is actually a lot of fun.
So it was like an improv for anime.
Basically, yeah, they had a lot of the voice actors there, and they were actually like acting out scenes, and like, they did like scenes from The Hat, and a lot of the stuff you did on Whose Line Is It Anyway. And you know, the only bad thing was the host, but the host the host isn't really too much. I mean, Drew Carey was the host, and he did a good job. So it was good times. Then from there, we actually ended up meeting up with a couple of friends that we didn't expect to find, but we did, who were friends of Meg's, who she hung out with all the time. And we went to the Yaoi screening. Yes, we went to the Yaoi screening. And by the way, this is actually after we went to a panel on Yaoi, which was actually sort of interesting. Okay, I myself am not interested in that at all, that much I'll say. But it is fun actually like learning about it, you know, like why people are interested in it, like why people get sucked into it, which was sort of interesting. It was basically a panel about the history, about, you know, what it's called in Japan. It's very different in Japan than it is here. How the term Yaoi is actually offensive in Japan.
Well, what does it mean in Japan?
In Japan, it's mostly associated with a lot of stuff that's illegal.
Oh,
let's put it that way.
Awesome.
You know, and actually most of the stuff is, I think it's called, instead, it's not doujinshi there either. It's doujini. I think that's what it is, or something along those lines. It's a separate category from the normal doujinshi stuff. Like, you know what a doujinshi is. It's a fan-made comic.
Yeah, I know.
And it's different there. We went to the Yaoi and we MST3K'd it like nobody's business. It was hilarious. It was a small room, so not many people in it, and we enjoyed ourselves a lot. Day two, that's when a lot of the stuff happened. We went to the masquerade, and that was actually better than last year because everybody's was pre-recorded. Okay, so none of the going up to the microphone and going, "Hey, look over there, there's a guy, what's going on?" You know, you could actually hear them, all right, which was a plus.
All right, I got a question for you.
And I hopefully have an answer.
How many clouds did you see?
How many clouds? Well, let's see. Other than the ones that were in the sky because it was raining on Friday and Saturday, I'd say at least 500.
500.
No, okay, not that many. There were at least 50 to 60 clouds running around.
Naruto's?
Lots of them. A lot of Naruto's, okay?
How about Inuyasha's?
Inuyasha's, actually a lot less than last year.
Oh, okay.
Which was a plus, because I don't really like Inuyasha too much. But there were a lot of people dressed up as people from Naruto, not too many Naruto's himself. You know, a lot of people wearing headbands,
yeah,
a lot of people in the outfits, and a lot, and I mean a lot, of Final Fantasy VII, okay? Whether it's Cloud, whether it's Tifa.
Sephiroth, what have you.
My girlfriend was actually the only one who cosplayed Elena from the Turks. So she was actually unique in that aspect because, well, no, seriously. I mean, she was the only one who was actually dressed up as that. Exactly.
Yeah.
She likes going for the more obscure characters. She dressed up on the first day as Doc from Helsing, who people only really know from the manga unless they've actually seen a preview of OVA 2, which they haven't.
Yeah.
So, you know, all's well with that. And she actually got recognized as from last year. Like one person who came up to her recognized her from, she was dressed up as Jan Valentine last year. And one of the people actually came up to her and like literally wanted to like glomp her, which was odd. Glomping. That's one thing that I got to talk about,
glomping.
All right? Glomping is a phenomenon that only is known in the anime culture. So for those of you who have never heard of the term, it's basically seeing somebody that you like and doing a running leap onto this individual.
Sort of like a lion pouncing on a gazelle, almost?
Pretty much. That's the best way to put it. And it's quite possibly one of the most rude things to actually do to somebody, unless you're actually given permission to glomp, to just run up to somebody and go, I love you! And, like, pounce them. You can ruin their costume. That's number one.
That's the problem. A lot of what works in anime doesn't work in real life.
Exactly. I know.
Like, I tried getting a big glob of sweat going once, and I passed out.
Wow, that's amazing. I'm really surprised by that. Nice one there, by the way. Oh, you ever heard of Kaju Big Battle?
Yeah, is that the wrestling with the costume?
Yeah, they had that on Friday, actually.
Really?
And it was a lot of fun. They actually had a casket match where instead of being shoved into a casket, you were shoved into a giant pocky box, which was actually a lot of fun. The weapons were giant pieces of pocky, you know, obviously where they were just foam pocky. And one guy actually got one of the foam pockies and brought it into the yaoi thing that we were watching, and like he kept doing suggestive things. That it was very amusing. But no, I mean, that was a lot of fun. And you know what? That was one thing. Like, the actual events were more varied this year. Like Kaju Big Battle, cosplay chess on day three was a lot of fun. Whose Line's an Anime, The Masquerade, all were very, very interesting. I just would have liked to see more fan panels of this. One of my favorites, Anime Parliament, was actually turned down for this convention. So they were not allowed to go. They were given a slot, but this was after they already decided not to go, so it was too little too late. I only did one panel this year. Now, the last year we did an American Animation panel. This was actually turned down this year because they said it wanted to be, quote-unquote, more Japanese. But it's a Japanese anime convention, so what the hell?
Obviously, yeah. I mean, that makes sense.
Well, obviously, yeah. So we did our Adult Swim panel, and you remember that guy I told you about last year? The guy who basically...
I think I saw him last year.
Okay, you might have, actually, but... For those of you who don't know, okay, there was this website. I don't even know if it exists anymore. I can't think of it offhand, but there was this website that did a review of my panel last year. And we do Adult Swim Revolution panels at Anime Next and Anime Boston. Basically, I do it with a friend. Her name is Chris. I've mentioned her on the show before. And the review was, I really hated that guy. Didn't mention Chris at all. She was the one who was running the damn thing. And all he could say was, you know, I went to it and I really hated this guy. And then he went to the Adult Swim panel. First, he did American Animation and said that he hated me. Then he said, and I went to the Adult Swim panel and I was very disappointed to see that guy. And I'm like, wow, amazing. He was there again this year.
He probably likes Tom Goes to the Mayor.
All right, here we go. Yeah. There was at least one guy, or there were multiple guys actually, who came up to me afterwards and said, like, I like Tom Goes to the Mayor. And I'm like, well, you're not in the majority here, you know? I mean, I polled the audience. I asked, you know, who likes Tom Goes to the Mayor? Only about maybe like a quarter of the audience actually raised their hand.
Wow.
And then, you know, who doesn't like it?
And that's a generous number, probably.
Well, probably, yeah. And you know what? Honestly, there are people who watch it because obviously it got renewed for a second season. So there has to be a reason for this to happen because Adult Swim will not put on a show that does not get ratings. Brack Show got canceled. Brack got canceled because of that. They didn't make extra seasons of stuff like, you know, the Oblongs or anything like that. They could have. If they tried hard enough, they could have gotten these
Stroker
rights from Stroker and Hoop got canceled right off the bat. Perfect Hair Forever got canceled already.
Yeah.
You know, they do cancel shows outright if they don't have the ratings. But this apparently had the ratings somehow. I don't know how. But we go through the panel, and one of my buddies, Christina, was in the audience, and she was sitting behind this guy who kept bad-mouthing me the entire time. And we're wondering, like, what the hell's going on here? And she describes the guy to Chris, and Chris knew what this guy looked like. And, yeah, it was the guy. So, you know, it's nice to see that there's at least one guy out there who hates your guts. It keeps you humble a bit, you know, because I'm like, all right, fine. Well, this guy doesn't like what I do. Maybe I can change that for the next time around. But I thought that this panel went a lot better than last year's. You know, there weren't as many sidetracks. And we actually, you know, kept it mostly to Adult Swim. We talked a little bit about Cartoon Network itself, but we actually, you know, stayed mostly on topic. And there's going to be people who like you. There's going to be people who don't like you. So you know what? If you don't like me, let me know. If you like me, let me know. I'm perfectly fine with that.
Do Meatwad.
Oh, man. And also, there was one funny part also. When I mentioned the anime club, Christian, Jan, and Peter were in the audience, and they just start going, woo, yeah. I'm like, okay, guys. Yeah, hi. I see you right over there. Yeah, that was interesting. After that, we went to the hentai screening. It was good, but way too many people screaming. I know that I myself was screaming out comments, and I think next year I'm going to try and cut down on that a bit for other people. But we learned our lesson. Let's put it that way. So, although
last year was actually, I don't know, when I went, it wasn't that many people there.
Okay, yeah. Well, this year the hentai screening was a lot, but the yaoi screening wasn't. The yaoi screening was more intimate. We were able to make comments, there were only maybe 12 people in the room for the yaoi. For the hentai, there were a lot of people, like at least 50 people. Mm. So that was a decent amount of turnout there. And one thing I'm upset: they showed a yaoi called My Sexual Harassment, and they didn't show the corn scene. All right. This is one of the most famous scenes where basically there's this flash animation going around the net. It's very hard to find. Like every now it ends up on 4chan where there's this guy who basically like they're doing something very suggestive to corn. And he screams out, "More corn!" This was the screen that everybody was looking for. And they didn't show the episode. We were very upset. I know. Tell me about it. But I don't know. The convention in itself, it was a lot of fun, like walking around.
Wait. What happened on day three?
Day three, that was mostly cosplay chess. We checked out, so we had to do that first. Then we went to cosplay chess. I actually got some decent stuff in the dealer's room that day because day three is the day to go to the dealer's room.
Yeah.
Everything's all cleared out. I got volumes 3 and 4 of the Death Note manga. I got a Bato, the other guy from Ghost in the Shell. I can't think of his name all of a sudden. Let me look. Togusa.
Okay.
Yeah, I got a Togusa from Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex, second gig, and I got a Jet from Bebop. Mm-hmm. They had it was discounted to $3.50, which is actually really good. It was like 50% off, so I had to pick that up. And also, anything else? And I got Ghost in the Shell second gig, volume 3. So that's what I got in the dealer's room. You know, it was pretty light for me, but I also know that I've got another convention in 2 weeks, and I've got the Mocha Festival coming up also. So it's a pretty heavy con. This is a heavy con time for me because for those of you who don't know, Boston happened a lot later than usual this year. So it usually happens in April. It happened, you know, this past weekend this time around because the Boston Marathon was in town. They wanted to do it, and they didn't want that to happen again. You know, like runners and cosplayers in the same hotel, that'd be kind of odd. Awkward and frightening. They'd be running a lot.
Yes. Kenyans and, you know, FF7 characters don't mix.
Exactly. Yeah, and Barrett and Kenyan characters definitely don't mix.
Why do you have a gun on your arm?
Oh, and that's great also. Going into the food court and seeing regular people wondering, why is that guy wearing a red robe? You know, it's a lot of fun.
You know what I just realized?
What?
The FF7 happened like 10 years ago.
Yes, I know that, but Advent Children just happened, so now it's popular again.
10 years
ago. I know, dude. I know.
You know what?
What?
If I ever go to an anime convention, I'm going to dress up as like Pauly Shore in Biodome or something.
You know what? Do Meatwad. Dress up as Meatwad. Do it. And actually, we were talking about, it's funny, we were talking about why Adult Swim shows don't get aired in Japan on Japanese Cartoon Network. Mm-hmm. And I believe, I think it was Chris who mentioned this, like she actually remembered hearing that there were some Japanese people in town who watched Adult Swim and they asked, what is up with that character made of meat? You know, it's humor that they don't exactly get over there. You know, just like sometimes we don't get their humor, sometimes they don't get ours, which is a reason why they don't air a lot of the shows. Yeah. But anyway.
Although 24 is big over there.
Yeah, it is. It's very big. It's even bigger than it is here. We saw Cosplay Chess again, like I mentioned. Cosplay Chess, basically, it involves anime characters basically on one side or the other. This year, it was, I think it was Bishies versus Shonens or something along those lines. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And this was a lot of fun. This was very amusing. They had skits that were acted out on stage, similar to the Masquerade, only more fun. And also, we saw the AMVs, we walked out of the AMVs, honestly. We were watching, it was the drama, and we were like, no thanks. We wanted to sit there for the comedy, and we didn't feel like waiting. All in all, I'd give the con like maybe a 4 out of 5. It was good, only, again, I'd like to see more fan panels.
Was it better than last year?
Yes, I would definitely say it was better than last year.
So thus far, it's the best one you've been to?
Thus far, it's the best one I've been to. The first year's one was actually a lot of fun, but I didn't do a lot of that first one. Like, I went to a couple panels, and really, I did a lot of wandering, and really had no idea what the hell to do, because it was my first convention. I really didn't know, like, what to expect. But by now, I've got the whole convention thing down. I know, like, wandering will find you people. I got a couple of pictures of, there was a really good Grave cosplayer there that I got a picture
Sweet.
Of from Gungrave. And got a picture of a Dante from Devil May Cry.
Now, this Grave cosplayer, did you yell out Brandon?
No, I didn't, but I really wanted Brandon! Brandon Heat! That's the best part of the anime right there, all right?
It happens like 5 times.
That's why you got to watch it in English, too, because it's not nearly as Brandon Heat! You know, it doesn't work nearly as good as it works in English. Anyway, if you've never gone to an anime convention and you're an anime fan, it's got to be something you got to do at least once in your life. You know, even if you're just sort of into anime, give it a shot. You know, go for one day. Exactly, at least for one day. I mean, you went, and would you go again to an anime convention if it wasn't in Boston?
If it was like, if they had it like at the Javits Center or something, yeah, I'd definitely go for it.
That's a possibility, actually. You know,
I mean, as strong as my opinions were about Anime Boston,
yeah,
I don't regret going.
Would you go to Anime Next in New Jersey?
Maybe.
Okay, so maybe we'll magically see your appearance there. But, you know, it was definitely a fun experience for me. And anybody who hasn't gone, I'd recommend it. Again, coming up is the Anime Next. For those of you who live in the New York area, That's June 16th through 18th. You can go to AnimeNext.org. I believe you can still pre-reg, but I'm not entirely sure. If not, you can actually register at the event itself. And I will have at least three panels there, possibly a fourth. The fourth entitled We Suck. Huh? W-I-I Suck. Basically, it'll be a video game gripe panel. Like, anybody who has problems with the upcoming generations of consoles and all that, you'll be able to gripe it there. And when we announced the name at the Adult Swim Revolution panel, we got cheers. So I'm hoping that that actually passes it on. Exactly, yeah. So highly recommend going to an anime convention sometime in your life if you're an anime fan. And if you're not, please beware of the cosplayers. Beware. As Brian rocks out to that. And to answer your question, Brian, that's from the Pod Show PodSafe Network over at music.podshow.com. You'll be able to find that out. And I can actually, one of these days, I'm going to actually list the artists that I play on the show. Anyway, one of the main stories that we got to talk about on today's show, thepiratebay.org. Now, have you ever you ever been to the Pirate Bay for any of your torrent needs?
No. Why would I go there?
Okay, let's be serious here. Have you ever been to the Pirate Bay?
No, seriously, I haven't.
Okay, you haven't? Okay, all right. No, I thought for a second you were like, no, I would never illegally download anything. Why would I possibly do that?
Why would I go to a Pirate Bay? I don't want, they're going to steal my jewelry and then make me walk the plank.
Okay, see, that's not fun. These aren't real pirates.
They're not.
No, they're not.
So this isn't about like the Swedish police actually arresting actual pirates?
No, it's not actually. This is about pirates, you know the term pirates for people online.
Oh, like piracy.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, the Swedish police actually stormed the piratebay.org's headquarters for their servers and basically took every single one of them as evidence. Now, this is against the law in Sweden. So this is actually something that they might be able to contest here because
what's against the law in Sweden?
It's against the copyright protection is very different in Sweden. Okay. There's nothing that truly states that anything along the lines of what the piratebay.org does is illegal in Sweden.
Well, a lot of things are not illegal in Sweden.
Well, exactly, but this is one of them. And this is the story coming out of www.slick.com. That's S-L-Y-C-K.
Great name for a website.
Exactly, .com. The piratebay.org raided servers seized. In their native Sweden, the piratebay.org enjoyed a level of immunity from copyright prosecution rarely seen in the file-sharing world. Often defiant in the face of those wishing to enforce their intellectual property rights, the piratebay.org would go on to become one of the premier BitTorrent indexing and tracking sites. As one of the largest trackers, the piratebay.org largely replaced the search engine supernova.org. Now that you knew. Supernova.
Yeah, I know about that. Yeah,
Supernova was one of the
best.
Every
once in a while, yeah.
Exactly. And now Nunova.org has replaced that. That's basically has the same system as Supernova. It's actually given to them by the guy who ran Supernova. And
really?
They were working with that now. Supernova.org met its demise in late 2004 when it was under pressure from the entertainment industry to shut its operation down. And it's amazing that it was in 2004 because it feels like it was just yesterday. Time flies.
Well, they said late, so maybe
well,
it was like, yeah.
True. You know what? It was around December, so I guess that sort of does make sense. It feels like it was only a year ago, so I guess it must have been December. Conversely, such pressure has been ineffective against the piratebay.org. When such political pressure fails, the use of force is typically the next course of action. In a move that many thought would never come, Slick.com learned this morning that piratebay.org was raided by Swedish police. The police right now is taking all of our servers to check if there is a crime there or not. They are actually not sure. Piratebay.org spokesperson Brokep, pronounced B-R-O-K-E-P, told Slick.com. The seizure of the PirateBay.org's entire server farm will guarantee this BitTorrent tracker will remain offline until the police complete their investigation. The uncertainty on the part of the police may stem from the fact that the PirateBay.org servers only host .torrent files, not actual copyrighted material. As a tracker, the PirateBay.org's function is to index .torrent files and to direct BitTorrent traffic and maintain the swarm. Uploads and downloads. The downloaded .torrent file contains all the necessary information to locate and download one queried file. The legality of indirectly linking to copyrighted material has yet to be tested by Swedish courts. We are not sure when it will return, but we are moving it to another country if necessary, Brokep said about whether or not the PirateBay.org will be offline indefinitely. According to the Pirate Party, a Swedish copyright reform organization, the raid also seized Pirate Bran, the Pirate Bureau servers. Pirate Bran is an educational and quasi-political organization which performs a public service role similar to the Pirate Party. In addition, the Pirate Party reports the servers were approximately in a protective area to which the police had no legal right to enter. Approximately 50 police participated in the raid, which placed into custody two PirateBay.org personnel. Now, the fact that they did not just raid the Pirate Bay, the fact that they also raided a non-profit organization, what does that say?
Swedish police aren't that great. I don't know.
What this says is they
are pirates.
Well, you know what? Yeah, they basically just went for anything with the name Pirate yes, and hoped it had something to do with the Pirate Bay, because this had nothing to do with the Pirate Bay whatsoever.
I mean, yeah, they probably raided the Long John Silver's. Who knows?
Yarr. I don't know. I mean, the fact remains that the Pirate Bay is one of the largest ones out there, okay? Almost everybody on the net has heard of it, and they have laughed in the face of companies that have tried to have them shut down before. They had a lot of cease and desist letters up on their website where they replied profusely, like, you can't do anything about us.
Well, somebody's actually taking action now.
Exactly. Now, do you see a legal right for this? I mean, do you see them actually being able to legally take these away?
It said in the article that it hasn't been legally tested yet, right?
Yeah.
Well, this is the test.
I guess, but, you know,
they're taking a shot.
They're taking
a shot in the dark. I mean, it's all a game of whack-a-mole. You shut one down, another one pops up, you know?
True, I guess. But, you know, if there's one thing that we've learned is that when something is not technically on the books, it's very easily contested. You know, it's very easily contested.
Yeah.
And at the same time, because it's not on the books, you can say, oh, well, you know, this law says this, and because this isn't on the books, it covers that. So technically, we were allowed to raid your stuff.
Yeah.
You know, which has happened here in the U.S. so many times. You know, I mean, like, legally, there have been stuff that were not technically on the books, but just looking at the Constitution or looking at, you know,
copyright law,
other things we'll be able to say, like, oh, well, you know, you can't possibly use this on your VCR because that's against the law. Or, oh, you can't possibly TiVo this because if you TiVo it, you're breaking constituency number 58743.
And supporting terrorism.
And supporting terrorism, exactly. They say that they'll move to another country.
That's what they all say.
Would you go that far? If you were running a site, okay, and you've lived in Sweden your entire life, and your servers get raided, and it's discovered that you can't do this in Sweden anymore, would you pick up all of your things, say goodbye to all of your family in Sweden, and move to Zimbabwe?
Well, these guys are making money, so they could probably afford to take their family with them.
Well, that's true. And also, it's not even known how much money they actually make off this stuff.
Oh, who knows? I don't even know. I mean,
you know, I mean, they make most of their money off donations.
Well, that's one of the good things, I guess, about these websites. I mean, it's a lot. It's very easy for them to pick up and leave. I mean,
well, that's true, yeah. But also the fact that a lot of those torrents, you know, they're going to have to start over from scratch.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, a lot of those torrents will never be found again because they all went offline just now. Because they were all being held on there. You know, there's other websites, Mininova for one that I go to for most of my TV shows, TorrentSpy, which does a good job of actually tracking stuff, and ISOHunt are some of the most popular ones out there. Without the Pirate Bay, a lot of the searches that came up on ISOHunt are not going to come up anymore. Or if they are going to come up, it's going to say no longer there. You know, there was a TV torrent site, TV Torrents, I believe it was what it was called. It was one of my favorite sites that eventually got taken off. And
that was like recently, right?
It was very recently. It was only about maybe 6 or 7 months back. It's where I would get most of my stuff, and I can't do that anymore. Similarly, the site that I got my cartoons, like my JLU and all that, was taken off. They still have an IRC room, but I'm not going to say the site offhand, just be on the safe side. But they got taken off because they quote-unquote broke copyright, but they weren't really breaking any copyright because half the stuff that they were trading was never put on DVD.
Oh.
So that's a bit of a legal black hole there. You know, like they were putting stuff on like old, they had like old Mighty Mouse cartoons on there.
What the
and
hell?
They had like, you know, they had stuff before it was on DVD. Now it's on DVD, like the Tick animated series they had on there. And they had a couple other things like they had episodes of like Kim Possible on there that weren't on DVD. Well, no, this did everything. And they had JLU because a lot of people want straight JLU seasons. And, well, to have a straight JLU season, they're going to have to wait another 5 years because they're doing season by season by season now.
Yeah.
So, you know, for people who wanted it right off the bat, this is where they would go. But they were taken off. For Pirate Bay, does the Pirate Bay getting taken off, do you think that's really going to hit the pirate community a lot? Or are they just going to say, move on to the next site?
They're going to just move on to the next site.
So you don't think it's really going to last too long.
Whack-a-mole.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. When Supernova went off, people, you know, cried for maybe a month, and then after that, oh, well, at least we have this.
Well, I think with each time one of these websites gets shut down, I think the websites get more creative, I guess.
True.
And to find loopholes within a copyright law or, you know.
Well, of course,
or they become more careful.
Well, that's why most of these countries that they do it in, you know, are the countries that don't have these sort of laws written, you know. That's
I have a theory that they're all going to wind up like in Bolivia.
Well, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, they'll end up in like Zimbabwe or Bolivia or you know, Pakistan. You know, they'll just like all of a sudden end up in these like countries that you would never expect any of these places to be.
Libya.
Like, You'll start seeing like, you know, like supernova.au, you know, or .gz, you know. They won't have like the .com on them anymore because they'll be country websites. You can only get through, you know, from one thing or another. But again, that's where you got to go because you certainly can't do it here in the U.S. It's been proven.
Yet. I mean, somebody will find a way eventually.
I doubt it. I really do. You know, with the way the FCC goes after everybody, FCC regulations are getting longer and longer. You know, they actually wanted to shut down. They want to stop people from doing podcasts. It was stated that they would want to put regulations on podcasts that would limit what you can do through the internet. But translation, oh, we can't control it. We need to control it. You know? Because, like, I mean, honestly, if I wanted to curse right now, I could because it's a podcast. But I'm not going to because I'm civilized. But there have been
people. Motherflower.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. And also, you know, video podcasts are very huge right now. Stuff like DL.TV. You know, it's basically like the old-fashioned screensavers, and they can put out anything they want whenever they want because they're not against any of the FCC. So they're going to try and get themselves out there as much as possible, even with countries that they have no jurisdiction in, which is what they try to do with the Pirate Bay. And it happened.
Yep.
Tough nookies.
Yar.
And Pirates of the Caribbean 2 and 3 coming soon. Well, Brian is really liking the music. I got to say, man. You know, watching you do your Van Halen impression in the studio, it's fun. It really is.
I'm hot for teacher.
Oh, yes. For those about the rock, we salute you. All right. Some phone news here. We'll start off with the one that's probably the most controversial, and then we'll start off with the one after that that is probably the most sellout-ish. But apparently, there is a place. It's called Lawrence. That wants to shut down any cell phone use whatsoever on the roads.
Okay. Let's do it right now.
Really? All right. As a guy, I know you don't have a cell phone. All right.
No, I don't.
You don't have a cell phone. Let's say you did. All right. Let's say that on a regular basis, you got to commute. Okay. You got to commute from, from Philadelphia to New York every day. Okay. People do it. I mean, I know people do it because I've heard of people like going from at least like a suburb of Philadelphia all the way to New York on a regular basis. I myself would never be able to do that. It's like 3.5 hours every day.
No, it's, let's say 2 hours.
All right. Well, 2 hours. But
2 hours and a half.
2.5, but with traffic?
With traffic.
With traffic.
I go to Philadelphia often. It's like 2 hours and a half with traffic.
But still, let's say that you take that route on a regular basis, okay, and you need a way to contact people just in case your car breaks down or just in case, you know, you're running late to a meeting or something like that and you have your cell phone on you and you have your headset on you, okay? You're using your headset.
Can I have a Bluetooth?
Yes, you can have a Bluetooth headset because you just like the name Bluetooth.
Okay.
I have a feeling. Is that right?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. I had a feeling, yeah, because Bluetooth, yar, it sounds like pirate.
Can I have an iTunes on my phone?
Okay, no. That's where I draw the line, all right? No iTunes for you.
Curse you.
And it's not it's a picture phone.
All right. Awesome.
All right. So camera phone.
Okay. Anyways, you're saying,
all right. Anyway, let's say that you get into an accident. All right. And there's no other way for you to get help other than the cell phone. You're taking a shortcut at the time. All right. And there's not many people on the road. Not much you can do. No policemen nearby or anything. You've got to call somehow.
Well,
call your cell phone.
Am I going to Philly or Alabama? I mean, what the hell?
Okay. You're on your way from Philly to New York, but you took some back roads.
You know what? The story doesn't make any sense. Let's say we're going to upstate New York.
Okay, fine. Fine. Upstate New York. Let's say you're going to Albany. All right, Albany. You better now?
I'm better now.
We're going to Albany.
Because, you know, I feel like I just took the turnpike, and, you know.
Okay, there was an accident on the turnpike. You needed to take the regular roads.
Okay, all right.
All right? Thank you. Thank you very much. Now it makes sense. Now what? Now what, bitch?
Now I tell Syed to start a signal fire. And, you know,
and then use Desmond's
boat. I don't know.
Thank you very much for the Lost reference.
Okay, you know what? Once upon a time, I had a cell phone.
Really?
And you know what? I know people with cell phones. And half the time, you know what the conversations are in the car? What? Yeah, I'm on the road right now. I'm going to work right now. Yeah. I don't know what time I'm getting out today.
Yes.
I don't know. Probably later.
But then there are the times when your freaking car breaks down. You don't have LoJack or any of those other crazy things.
When your car breaks
down,
you know what? Usually you don't have service.
Really? So you would... Wait. Not these days.
If you're like in the backwoods boondocks.
Okay,
and crap,
understandable. But I'm just saying, if it's a dirt road, even if it is on a turnpike, you know, a lot of the times people are way too busy to stop and help you. Come on, give me that. All right, you know, with where we live, how often people will just
I would just moon them and then they'll stop.
That's right, exactly. Well, this is coming out of LJWorld.com here, New York. You've got nothing on Lawrence. New York State made national headlines 4 years ago for becoming the first state to ban motorists from using cell phones. But a proposed cell phone ban in Lawrence would be tougher than that law or any other cell phone ban in the country. A national group that studies cell phone usage said the proposed Lawrence ordinance, up for discussion Monday by the Traffic Safety Commission, would ban the use of both handheld cell phones and hands-free cell phone devices by motorists. That would be first in this country, said Russ Rader, a spokesman for the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety. Other bans generally prohibit only handheld devices, with some banning hands-free devices for certain types of motorists, such as teenagers or school bus drivers or midgets. No, not midgets. The Lawrence ban on hands-free devices would apply to all drivers, and some cell phone researchers said it was about time for a city to adopt such a ban. This is Lawrence here, okay? Tell me they're not just doing this for the press.
They're doing it for the press. Although, Rush Rader, that's a good name.
That's true. You know, that's waiting to be a comic book right there.
Thank you.
Honestly, that sounds like a...
Russ Rader.
I am Russ Rader, defender of justice and cell phones everywhere. No, I mean, honestly, to me, there's no reason to ban, you know, hands-free devices. Okay? Because hands-free devices, your eye is on the road. You're paying attention.
Well, there's loopholes. I mean, you could have speakerphone.
Okay, that's true. That's true. Mm-hmm. But even with that, I mean, these guys want to ban basically everything having to do with a cell phone, okay? And right here, we would certainly oppose a complete ban. Jamie Hastings, director of government affairs for T-Mobile USA, which I use, previously told the Journal World, "We think there are distractions just as great. I suppose if you also want to ban McDonald's coffee and kids in the back seat, then we wouldn't oppose it."
Oh, burn.
That's a total burn right there. And you know what? The guy does have a point, because those can be as distracting as
probably
talking on a cell
more
phone.
Distracting.
Well, yeah. I mean, come on. You're driving along. You've got your coffee in your little cup holder there. And all of a sudden, you hit a bump and it freaking scalds you all over.
Well, I mean, what I want to know is this. How many accidents have actually been caused by cell phones?
That's a very good question, actually.
It can't be that many.
Well, I mean, come on.
It.
You know, when you think about it, obviously, things like drunk drivers and stuff like that are certainly going to be higher up on the list than stuff like cell phones.
Oh, yeah. Drunk driving and, like, dry humping and stuff like that.
Dry humping?
People do it. People do it.
I know that people do it, man.
People do it.
Oh, my God. You know, you're the only person who would actually mention that.
Boston.
The subject is off of Boston. The subject is on Lawrence, my friend.
Lawrence.
You know, would you see other places maybe deciding to go on the same routes as Lawrence?
Yeah, but not big cities.
Okay, so big cities aren't going to do it.
Nah.
You'll guarantee me that.
I guarantee you that.
You guarantee me that. You're
that,
positive.
And the Detroit Pistons will be in the finals.
And the Detroit Pistons will be in the finals. That's another story for another time.
Okay.
I understand why they might want to do this, but I really don't think it's a good idea. But going on to other phone news, it appears that Skype, which I've told you about before and what you know about.
I know about Skype.
Skype is voice over IP.
I know.
Oh, my God, man. I wasn't just talking about you.
You think I'm a noob, right?
What did you say?
You think I'm a noob or something? Like, I know.
You knows the stuffs, man. You knows the stuffs. Like, whoa. Skype teams with Dell for faster voice over IP calls. Skype and Dell announced on Wednesday, by the way, this is from ipcommunications.tmcnet.com. Dell and Skype announced on Wednesday that they have joined forces for faster voice over IP calls. The company agreed to ship Skype software with new Dell XPS mobile systems, which includes the XPS M1210 and XPS M2010. The new deal calls for the new deal. By the way, every single time I hear the new deal, I think of
FDR.
Exactly, FDR. The new deal calls for Dell to provide its customers with access to Skype's voice and video internet calling software. According to the deal, Dell will preload Skype on the XPS 2010 mobile entertainment system, which features a 20.1-inch high-definition display with integrated webcam. The XPS 1210 can also be configured with Skype as part of an optical audio-video communications package, also comprised of an integrated rotating webcam, noise isolation earbuds, and mobile broadband capability. As the leading notebook supplier, Dell is committed to delivering cutting-edge technology that provides voice and voice connectivity virtually anywhere, said Brett Falk, Worldwide Marketing Director. Don't mispronounce that name. Consumer Notebooks.
This is a good day for good names.
Brett Falk.
It's like Brett Favre and Marshall Falk had a baby.
That's actually a frightening thing to think of, man, I gotta say. You know, honestly.
The ultimate in scrambling quarterbacks.
Oh, my God. Teaming with Skype, the trendsetter in internet communications, will provide our customers the very best experience when reaching out and staying in touch with friends and family around the world. Now, all right, I know that you're a bit lighter on tech than I am, but you still know about tech, all right?
Yes.
You ever use Skype?
I almost did once.
You almost did, but you decided not to?
I know people that use it.
Yeah, like me.
Besides you.
I'm people.
I know Asian people that use it.
You know Asian people that use it.
Because they use everything.
Wow, that's amazing. So basically you're just saying that it's all Asian people and nobody else.
And you.
And me. That's great. All right, yeah, no. I mean, voice over IP, all right, it's a nice way to talk to people, especially considering the fact that Skype Out is free for the rest of the year.
Yep.
You can talk anywhere in the U.S. for free. Whatsoever. If you're calling from the U.S., you can talk anywhere in the U.S. for free. International calls, that's how they're making their money. Do you think it's any way of a disrespect to other companies by getting a contract exclusively with Dell to have faster voice over IP?
Yeah.
Exactly. Do you think people are going to have an outlash over this? Because I think they very well might.
Because it's Dell. Who buys Dells?
I have a Dell. The fact that I understand why Dell was doing this because, you know, lately Dell's been falling out of favor. All right.
Well, they screw you over in the parts, don't they?
Of course they screw you over in the
parts.
Exactly. They're Dell, man.
I mean, yeah. I mean, their systems aren't that bad, you know, but this is the parts.
Well, they have Alienware now. And Alienware has very decent parts. Hey, come on. Alienware are probably the top of the gaming bunch. You know,
the
when it comes
gaming
to
bunch.
Yeah, when it comes to gaming PCs.
Ooh, gaming PCs.
Hey, wow. You just really like going, ooh.
Ooh, I'm going to play World of Warcraft and Half-Life.
Skype plus Dell might equal evil. Okay, because what if they end up deciding from this that they're going to give lesser content to other
computers?
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking. They're probably it seems like they're giving preference to Dell.
Well, also, this is probably a way for them to basically go to other companies and say, well, hey, if you want to be as good as we are with Dell, give us some money.
It's Skype. I mean, I don't even know why Skype is doing this. I mean, they're doing okay for themselves.
They are.
A lot of people use it.
Well,
not
more people than you would think. Yeah.
I know people that use it just to call other people in, like, you know, have relatives in such and such state, or even in overseas, actually, because it's cheaper than sometimes it comes out cheaper than buying a phone card.
It is, it's a lot cheaper because, I mean, basically, you're just on the internet. That's
it.
Yeah, you know?
It's way cheaper than buying a phone card,
without a doubt. I mean, you know, also for me, it's better quality than talking on the phone.
Yeah, it is.
It's been much better quality.
Although, obviously, you need a decent computer and a decent internet connection
and a decent microphone.
And a decent microphone.
Because, obviously, you know, if you're going to sound like this the entire time, it's not going to be fun. But no, I mean, a lot of people use this because it is just damn effective.
Well, I mean, a good example is this. I have a friend of mine and he calls his relatives in Mexico. Okay. All they have to do is go to internet cafe and it's like, what, like a dollar for like 10 minutes or something?
Basically, yeah. Yeah. And also, there's other alternatives out there like Gizmo that I use. Well, at least I did use it, but I realized that Skype actually gives you a bit better quality. But Gizmo actually has a recorder built in, which is a nice feature, but its bandwidth isn't nearly as strong. And that's the problem, you know. Well, no, I mean, when you have like maybe
no, I'm just doing that.
I know you are, but no, I mean, and I love that the listeners can't even see you doing the whole hand wave thing. But basically, they have a very good product, but late at night, even when you have more than two people on the line at the same time, you're gonna have very, very, very large difficulties actually getting decent quality out of all three people at the same time
because you're sharing
bandwidth with Skype. Stronger bandwidth equals stronger signal equals stronger quality.
You mean better quality?
Stronger quality, damn you. Everything's stronger.
All right.
Everything.
Okay.
Fine. Better quality, too. But
well, this is bullcrap.
Well, I know it's bullcrap because Dell has done this before.
Out of all those people, why Dell? Why?
Simple, because Dell likes being on top of everybody else. You know that. They want to be the quote-unquote best out there.
They're the best by default.
I know that. Like, what other company? Whatever happened to Gateway? You ever hear them mention anymore?
Gateway. Sony's, it's not that bad, right, but it's a bit pricey.
Sony's computers are actually very good, I gotta say.
Yeah, but it's a bit pricey.
It is a bit pricey, but,
yeah, but I think it's worth it.
Hewlett Packard, people still mention HP. HP desktops, you know, HP laptops are actually really good. You know, every now and then you hear that mentioned. But really, I mean, all anybody ever mentions are either like homebrew computers that they make from scratch or Dell.
Or refurbished computers.
Or refurbished computers. Yeah, yeah. Alienware was on top, and guess what? Alienware is Dell now.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Isn't that just lovely? Gateway.
We have a Dell in the room right now.
Compaq.
Oh my God.
Remember Compaq?
Packard Bell.
Yeah, they still sell Compaqs, like at PC Richards.
Yeah, I know.
They still sell Compaqs, but you know what? Nobody buys them because Compaqs are not so good. Neither are Dells for that matter, but people will buy them because they're popular. I fell into that trap. I have a Dell at home.
And Dells are relatively cheap.
They are. In fact, you know what? All right, I'll give them this much. My Dell has held up really damn well over the years, okay? It's a five-year-old computer now, all right? And it still has, like... God damn you, Brian. That's it. You're off the show.
Don't take the Lord's name in vain.
Two gigahertz Pentium 4, okay? 512 megabytes of RAM. The only difference is that the RAM that they used is a RAM that they only use, so it's very hard to get, which is a problem. And let's see, I have a Turtle Bay sound card and a couple other
things. Okay, is this going anywhere? Because I don't want to hear about your crappy PC.
Well, no, I mean, basically, no, what I'm saying is that it's actually held up pretty decently over the years,
right, yeah, I know.
Which is something that they might have. But
so you get a bang for your buck from Dell.
A bang for your buck if you get the right components, because if you just go with their like low-end deal, it's not even close to being top of the line when you get it.
Nope.
Exactly. So know what you're getting, and Skype better know what they're getting too, because when they go with Dell, you get a dude. I apologize in advance for how insane this episode is, but apparently Brian's hyper and I'm tired, so that's not exactly a decent combination.
We're feeding off each other. We're feeding off each
basically.
Other. We're feeding off. I'll break your face.
This Marduk moment brought to you by Pepsi. Super Mario Brothers. Awesome.
You like Super Mario Brothers?
Yes, I like Super Mario Brothers.
I could have sworn you didn't like Super Mario Brothers.
Are you kidding me?
I mean, like, you and your girl are gaga over Final Fantasy VII.
Whoa! Oh!
And you like baseball, so what the hell?
What the hell, dude? And you know what? From what I heard, Mario Baseball isn't too bad.
It's pretty good. And so is Super Mario Strikers. Any Mario game, they can make Mario Badminton, and it'll be awesome.
Most Mario games are automatically good, but Super Mario Brothers started it all. All right? That first game was one of the first games I ever played, and it was a hell of a lot of fun. It still is today.
Yeah, that's why they made it 2.5D.
Exactly. Now, 2.5D, that's sort of interesting. What they basically did here, and if you go to Cayman.us, there is another site that has it, but it's currently down due to the dig effect, because basically anything that ends up on dig.com eventually ends up like going over its bandwidth limit, and then you can't get to it.
But they dug too deep.
Exactly. This is a freeware, and you can get it here. I believe there was a download for it here. Basically, what they did is it's a 3D Super Mario game, 8 stages. If you love Mario, then you have to try this superb 3D platform game.
You don't have to try anything. It's
3 worlds, 8 stages in total. If you never played a Mario game, here, have some info on how to play it. Number one.
Ian, if you never played a Mario game, then you shouldn't even be listening to the show.
Exactly.
They shouldn't have been born.
I know.
Go back in the womb.
Number one, to kill the enemies, just jump on their head. It's very interesting, you know, to just jump on their head. Dear God, who doesn't know this? And who has never played
Don't even bother explaining the game.
Come on. No, the question boxes can be opened by jumping up and hitting the bottom of it with your head. You know what's funny is that when you actually...
Why are you reading this?
See, the worst thing is that when you actually explain this stuff, you realize just how silly it sounds.
It doesn't sound silly. It's poetry in motion.
Dude, to kill the enemies, just jump on their head.
You want them to have a big butcher knife and call down meteors from the sky?
Now remember though, at the end of most levels is a flag. The higher up you hit the flagpole on your first hit only, the more bonus points you get.
Why are you reading this? This is a prerequisite.
It's actually a lot of fun. But I don't know, dude. This is like 101.
This is like the episode of Simpsons when they went to that class. Put your garbage in a garbage bag. Don't just throw it out the window.
Exactly. But now, what they did is they took the 2D sprites from Super Mario Brothers, okay? And they made a 3D world, okay?
A half-assed 3D world.
All right. It's sort of half-assed.
No, literally. I mean, look how it looks. It's literally half-assed.
All right. Well, see, that's why it's 2.5D. I don't know. I mean, it does look kind of interesting, but at the same time, it's like Mario's a 2D game, man. You know?
You know what disappointed me?
What?
And I don't know. Maybe because they couldn't really get – I don't know. But they probably have the reasons for doing it.
What?
They couldn't use a version for Mario All-Stars. The more spruced up version. Yeah. I mean, they'd have to go that old school.
You know, honestly, I would agree with you with that because
I don't like Chinese Mario.
Mario All Stars did a very decent job.
Yeah, they spruced up the
very
old,
good
the
job
graphics,
of sprucing up the old graphics, and it was still the same game. You know,
oh yeah,
basically they didn't rework anything.
Although
none
of the glitches, so you can do the speed runs, which kind of sucked.
Yeah, but still, Mario is timeless. To change it to 3D. I can understand why some people would want to get this. And again, looking at some of the graphics here, looking at some of the gameplay, the dark levels actually look kind of cool.
Yeah, the dark levels do look cool. It reminds me of Tron, but no.
Yeah, and even here, like with the shot here of this you know first
castle,
board over here,
the
first castle, it does look kind of interesting. But again, 2D on 3D doesn't look so good. What I would have liked to see was taking the 3D sprites from the DS game that just came out, or even just your own 3D sprites, and putting it in the 2D game, like what they did with the new Super Mario Brothers DS.
Which,
I would have liked to see that in Super Mario Brothers.
Which is awesome, by the way, for those of you who haven't played it.
I haven't had a chance to play it yet, but I really want to. So, do you have a DS?
No, but a friend of mine does.
Okay,
has it. It's just basically everything you love about Mario.
Well, I'm going to have
They brought it back old school.
I'm totally going to have to give it a shot, but no. Wouldn't you have loved to see somebody make a original Super Mario Brothers with the 3D sprites? That would have been fun.
Yeah,
you know, that would have been a nice like spruce up of the quality of it, and it would have looked kind of cool. To make a 2D game 3D, I'm not quite sure if I like that so much. And again, I've liked in the past, like I absolutely love the idea of playing Grand Theft Auto in 2D.
Oh, that was awesome.
That was amazing. And I absolutely love some of the other homebrews out there that did a decent job of, you know, emulating things. But I'm not quite sold on it.
You know what it
yet.
Is? They went with the original Mario. I mean, it would have been better if they went with like Mario 3 or something like that.
Yeah, and well, who knows? They might from here. You know, I mean, there might be, you know, Super Mario Brothers 2.5D.
Mario Kart 2.5D.
Yeah, right. And by the way, I got to tell you, just to sidetrack here, if you guys haven't actually been to YouTheManNowDog.com.
You're the man now, dog.
If you haven't seen the Batman that they have.
I haven't seen the Batman that they have.
You haven't seen the Batman?
You know what? I haven't seen it.
Well, you know what?
I feel like a bum.
All right. You know what? Well, whatever. We'll try that later. But no, I mean,
it's Adam West doing some weird dance.
Okay. Would you play this new thing that just came out? This Mario Brothers 2D? Would you give it a shot?
No, I wouldn't.
Really? You wouldn't?
No.
Why not?
Well, for one thing, I'm planning on getting Guild Wars Faction, so I don't have time for that crap. And on the second thing...
Wait a minute. Whoa. Just because of that, you're not even going to give this a shot?
I'm not giving it a shot.
Oh, my God.
It's 2.... If I want to play Mario in 3D, I'll play Super Mario 64. As simple as that.
All right. Granted, I guess. But I don't know. I mean, it is sort of interesting to, you know, maybe see something along these lines.
You know, on a sidetrack, I love how they named the new DS game New Super Mario Brothers. That's the name of the game.
I know.
New Super, this is great. It's
absolutely amazing.
They just basically win Nintendo. What are you going to do? Not buy the game? Come on. Give us a break.
I know. Tell me about it. Moving over to the side of Google for a completely terrible segue. All right. Google has no plans for a web browser. Are you upset by this?
Yes and no. Yes, because it probably would have been cool, and no, because what the hell? I'm using Firefox.
News.com.com. I love that. That's absolutely crazy. News.com.com. What kind of a name is that? But this does come from the man, the myth, the legend, the David Price did indeed send this in here. No web browser plans for Google.
The David Price?
The David Price,
wow,
yes.
I can't
exactly.
Really know him.
Google executives, well, he's the man of 1,000 podcasts, so that's it. Google executives said that they have no plans to build a browser and downplayed threats from Microsoft's new advertising system and plans to bundle search into the next version of its operating system.
Yeah.
Following complaints from the investment community that Google doesn't offer enough insight into the company's business and strategy, Google executives on Wednesday held a live question and answer webcast with analysts. Asked if Google would consider developing its own browser, as has been speculated for some time, Chief Executive Eric Schmidt said, "We would only do so if we thought there was a real user benefit. Google makes decisions on what products to develop based on what users want and not on what rival companies are doing, he said. The industry is obsessed with this browser question, and our observation is you have a number of good browsers now, including Firefox and Apple Computer's Safari. In response to a question about how Google executives feel about the possibility of losing revenue to advertising customers who may jump ship to Microsoft's new ad center, Schmidt predicted that the impact of the competition will be either neutral or positive to Google's business because it will likely encourage even more people to buy ads who aren't already doing so. All right, Google, are they overextending themselves here?
Well, on a side note,
yeah,
Eric Schmidt, another good name. Is this a great day?
This is
for
a great day for names. It really is. Even David Price. David Price is a great name.
David Price, Russ Rader.
Ian Levinstein, not so much. But, I mean, Google, there were rumors about Google having an OS for a while. There were rumors about
a long time.
I know, for a very long time. There have been rumors.
This web browser thing goes back, like, maybe, what, 3 years?
I know, but you know what? The web browser would look terrible. It would look very ugly.
Yes,
okay?
Would.
Because it would have that same damn white scheme that Google has had for the longest freaking time. It's like, dear God, spruce yourself up.
Come down.
Google doesn't know how to create, okay? They know how to innovate, but they really don't know how to create.
You know what? I want to say something on this, though.
Yeah.
Microsoft will break thumbs. Bill Gates breaks thumbs.
I know he does.
Because this is, yo, you don't mind. He's a Don.
He's a Don.
He's a Don.
He's a Don.
I like him. He's like the Godfather. He wants his wedded beak a little bit.
That's well, does the want. Godfather like things like Google? No, not really.
He probably would.
Do you eventually see these two companies get along? You know, maybe have like a.
Well, no. I don't know. I mean, well, I got a question for you. With MSN, you still can't get Gmail? No, right?
With MSN, I believe you still can't get Gmail. There might be a plugin out there for it, but I'm not entirely
sure. I'm pretty sure that wasn't an oversight. That's
on
purpose.
Come on, obviously. Yeah, tell me about it. And there have been rumors that Microsoft might be buying Yahoo. That was one of the rumors that was floating around last week. And quite frankly, if that happens, I'd be very shocked because that's a lot of money right there. And Yahoo owns a lot of things that haven't exactly done well for them.
Well, then, you know what they say, money talks, BS walks.
Exactly. Tell me about it. I don't know. I mean, I might see this actually, like, maybe there being an agreement between Microsoft and Google someday to maybe, like, you know, have their searches in, you know, Internet Explorer, like, off the bat, as opposed to needing to first download something. That'd be nice. The Google toolbar is sort of past its use.
Yeah.
I mean, people have it for Firefox. You go into Firefox, you type on
it's
Google.
It's already there.
Exactly. It's already there. There's no reason for Google toolbar.
Yeah.
Yet people still put it on there,
or even on the Internet Explorer for the three people that still use it.
Yeah, I know
that's not necessary.
Well, you know what? Honestly, no. For that, it's necessary just to have the search bar right there.
Nah,
I like that feature though. I've always enjoyed having a search bar right there. Again, with Firefox, that's one of my favorite reasons for using Firefox, along with the tabs and all that. Is that you just need to type it in. That's it.
That and has a bitchin' logo there.
You're damn it's right it does,
Firefox.
Man.
Firefox.
And one more story here before we go into the wind-up. Tom Cruise continues net crusade. Tom Cruise has embarked on a crusade. By the way, this is also a David Price story, by the way, from theregister.co.uk. Tom Cruise has embarked on a crusade to win back his name right across the net. Not content with taking notorious cyber squatter Jeff Berger Jeff Berger to WIPO for control of TomCruise.com, the diminutive film star has sent in the lawyers to get hold of other domains supporting his name. As a result, both TomCruise.net and TomCruise.org are now in the hands of domain legal specialists Trout and Zimmer. Those are terrible names. Those are the first terrible names of the show. Trout? Okay, Trout is a fish, and Zimmer used to be a coach for the Yankees.
Oh, yeah, right. That's that guy that got knocked out.
Don Zimmer, exactly. Hired by Tom to ensure that a nasty outbreak of online Tom Cruise mockery is held at bay. It's unknown whether Cruise intends to do anything with the domains or how far the net crusade will go. As things stand, of the other global top-level domains he doesn't have, TomCruise.info is owned by Costantinos or something like that.
You got it right.
Constantinos Zunas.
Zunas, yeah, in Greece.
Constantinos Zunas in Greece. TomCruise.biz by Domain Registry Support in New York. And TomCruise.name by Korean company called Yeznik Co. Limited. Can we expect the owner of the country code domain such as TomCruise.co.uk or TomCruise.de to be next on the list for special attention? Only time will tell. In the meantime, Cruise continues to be a figure of fun on the net. I cannot talk for shite today.
You can't read.
On the net, exactly. With number... Oh, my God.
With large numbers of bloggers...
You finish.
With large numbers of bloggers relishing in the fact that his latest film, Mission Impossible 3, did not have the opening week success that was expected. Also, TomCruiseIsNuts.com is currently the third-ranked link in Google search for the great man.
Hey there. Welcome to Geek Speak with Brian. It's official. That's it. I'm done, guys. I'll see you later. No. All right. You know what? TomCruiseIsNuts.com, that's brilliant right there. But what the hell is wrong with Tom Cruise? You know, this man used to be like one of the best movie guys around, and now I can't stand the guy. All right?
He still is. You know what?
He went nuts, man.
It's not even that. I mean, like anybody, he needs Nicole Kidman. That's basically
anybody who thinks that they can basically break the internet in half, you know, for their bidding.
Well,
is nuts.
If anyone can, it's Tom Cruise, or maybe Harrison.
Are you kidding me?
Or maybe Harrison Ford?
No way, man. You know, this guy thinks he can get away with anything he wants. You know, TomCruise.net. He should have had TomCruise.net in the first place, or TomCruise.com, because, quite frankly, he is Tom Cruise. Okay. TomCruise.com, TomCruise.net. He should have been the one who got it in the first place. The fact that he didn't get it means too little, too late. Live with it. If they're making fun of you, guess what? You deserve it.
No, he doesn't.
He deserves it, man.
He was in Top Gun.
This man went on Oprah and almost choked her. Come on. This is a guy.
Yeah. See, that wasn't going to happen because Oprah would have had like a black samurai come out and decapitate
him. Scientology.
Scientology, yes.
Scientology.
Yes.
You know what? Honestly, Scientology did this to him, I got to say.
No, right? No. He when Nicole came and left him, he just...
Katie Holmes. Nice. Katie Holmes,
it's
you
Christian,
know.
It's Christian Bale's kid. Come on, who are we kidding here?
Yeah, right, exactly. Holy crap, man. That's just wrong. So yeah, I think we basically discovered that Tom Cruise, is an idiot and will continue to be an idiot, and he's not going to be able to stop anything, and I mean anything, that he tries to do. But he's going to keep trying because, once again, he's Tom Cruise. I love it when music sounds like it's from Tecmo Bowl.
That's Mega Man music right there.
It's pretty much Mega Man music.
It is Mega Man music.
Yeah, well, that's Onomatoguchi right there.
Onomatoguchi?
Onomatoguchi. He is the man.
Onomatoguchi.
Onomatoguchi.
It's like onomatopoeia, but like it sounds dirtier.
Basically, yeah. Well, no, Onomatoguchi is a really cool guy. MySpace.com/Onomatoguchi. Anyway,
Onomatoguchi, okay.
Let's actually talk what we want to talk about here. That, of course, is Batwoman, all right? Now,
Batwoman.
You know the character Batwoman.
I know of her. No, I know Batwoman.
Now, Batwoman in the past was... She's been like so many different people.
I should know. I mean Batwoman like this.
Exactly. She was Bette Kane originally, and then Kathy Kane.
No, she was Kathy Kane originally, then she was Betty Kane.
Okay, I got you. Yeah. Now, Kathy Kane was actually the original name of Bob Kane's wife, if I remember correctly. The character of Batwoman has been missing in comic books for a very long time now.
Decades, man.
And now she's back, and she's a lesbian.
That's great.
Newsarama had the breaking story on this. It was actually broken in New York Times, and then from there they had an interview with Dan DeVito.
New York Times, really?
Yeah, the New York Times broke it, actually.
Wow.
Yeah, and they broke who it was going to be. It is going to be Kathy Kane. And
Katie Kane, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Katie Kane or Kathy Kane?
This is going to be Kathy Kane. Her name is going to be Kathy Kane now. But I remember that the original talk was that it was going to be Montoya, and then it was turned down.
Thank God, because Montoya is a cool character.
She is a cool character, and you know what? She doesn't need to be Batwoman to be cool. You know, she's a character that basically stands on its own. She's developed enough where she doesn't really need to be anything but Detective Montoya.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and 52's proven that. I mean, 52...
Not even that. Gotham Central proved that.
Oh, please, definitely, without a doubt. And I mean, the character's continuing in 52, and, she's proving time and time again that she is just awesome the way she is, and she really doesn't need anybody else to make her awesome.
Did she debut in the animated series? She did, didn't? Yeah.
I don't think
she was in the comics originally.
I think she did indeed debut, and you know the lesbian storyline and all that actually debuted in the comics.
Obviously, yeah.
The lesbian police officer was who again in Superman?
I forgot, but isn't she dead now?
No, she's
she just broke up with him, right?
No. She was in 52.
52, oh yeah. Okay.
She was in 52. She works in Gotham now.
Gotham.
I can't think of her name though. Oh man,
is she blonde? No.
Yeah, she is. I can't think of it though. If I do, I'll add it in. But no, I mean the character of Batwoman though isn't it kind of cheesy?
Well, there's no Batgirl now, is there? Honestly, I don't really think you need a female Batman character. Batgirl really? Or woman. I really think it's unnecessary. I mean, you got Robin and Nightwing.
Well, you know, Oracle basically is that female.
Yeah, Oracle and Huntress, for that matter. Yeah. So I think, yeah, more than enough.
That's true. Well, with Batwoman, she's filling the gap. She and Harvey Dent are filling the gap for 1 year later. Basically, they are the ones that are going to be, you know, running through Gotham, saving people.
Oh, and The Question.
And The Question. But isn't that a lot for Gotham?
Well, that goes back to the point, how overrated is Batman?
Well, that's
I mean,
true.
Five people can equal the work of Batman, or Nightwing for that matter.
Actually, you got a point there, but if you think about it, they're taking the place of, well, Nightwing, even though he was a Bloodhaven guy, he used to be in Gotham all the time, he's taking the place of Huntress, who is all over the place now, she's not just in Gotham, taking the place of Batgirl, who's MIA.
And Robin.
Robin and Batman, that's five.
Okay, fine.
That's five right there.
Whatever.
So instead of taking... You
and
know,
Black Canary also.
And Black Canary, that's six. I mean, and Ragman, he's not in Gotham anymore, so that's
oh, yeah,
seven.
Because he was such a big factor before.
Ragman is the man,
now,
right?
Now he is. Not back in the day.
Oh,
now.
My God. All right,
he's Jewish, you know.
I know he is. That's why he kicks so much
ass.
You
credit to your people.
Oy vey. Oy vey, my friend. Oy vey. But, I mean, you know what? Honestly, it coming back now, and you've seen the design. Of Batwoman.
Yeah, it looks great.
It's basically a combination of the Batwoman that you saw in the... Revenge of the Batwoman?
Revenge of the Batwoman, yeah, in an animated movie.
And I'm glad that this is happening now because I just saw the Mystery Science Theater 3000 Wild World of Batwoman.
That sounds like a porn.
It basically was.
Oh,
okay?
Really?
What it was, it happened in the 60s, I think, like around when Adam West was popular, so I guess that's the reason why they did it. But basically, there's this character named Batwoman who's... got all of these girls working for her, and on a regular basis,
are they hookers?
They're fed this drug that makes them dance.
What the hell?
By this like evil scientist dude, and
oh my God.
Batwoman is wearing like a feather boa with like feathers in her hair. And why a bat needs feathers, I'm not quite sure.
What's the name of this movie again?
Wild World of Batwoman.
I gotta look this
you can
up.
Find it on Amazon. The MST3K version has the original and the MST3K version, so you can probably get both. But that movie in itself is just absolutely crazy. And the best part of it is that when I was watching MST3K this weekend, guess whose name came up?
Whose name came up?
Eric Bauman.
Bauman?
Eric Bauman.
Eric Bauman.
From Ebaums.
From Ebaums.
Ebaumsworld.com.
And how did that happen?
His letter was read on the air.
Oh, wow.
For Mystery Science Theater 3000. And I'm thinking to myself, like, wow, this is where Eric Bauman got his start. Holy crap, that's really sad.
And he's like a millionaire now.
I know. Like, this dude is like, well, and I hope that he's a millionaire because he steals stuff. And I've mentioned this before. I know that other people out there like Ebaum's World. For me, the fact that he gets so much of his stuff from people who haven't actually given him permission to put any of his stuff on there really pisses me off. But
yes,
again,
that does piss you off.
Yes.
So go home and download.
Go along and illegally
download your songs.
Thank you very much for that, my friend. Thank you. I haven't actually downloaded the legal songs
in a while. Hey, theft is a victimless crime.
Theft is a victimless crime.
Yeah, but you know what? Yeah, I mean, that is bullcrap, though, how he just takes everyone's.
I know, definitely.
I mean, and the sad part is, you know why? I don't like it? You know, sorry about that.
It's all right.
You know why I don't like it?
Why?
Chances are that people will probably give him permission anyways if you just ask
them. True. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And talking about taking things from other people, I guess this is sort of a segue, but not even close. Batwoman's costume is a combination of Batman Beyond and the old Batwoman, basically.
Yeah.
And Alex Ross created this new costume, okay? I got to tell you, it definitely looks a hell of a lot better than the one that was in that animated movie, because that's just terrible.
Definitely looks better than Batgirl's costume.
Well, definitely. Yeah, without a doubt. Batgirl's costume, I mean...
was okay, but that whole little...
She looked like a marionette, man.
No, that whole little covered mouth thingy.
I know. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, the stitches on the mouth was like... She looked like a total marionette. It was crazy.
She looked like a gimp.
Oh my God, man. You know, whenever you're on this show, you say at least one thing controversial. It's amazing. It's amazing. Say something about communists right now. Go ahead.
Communists?
Yeah, you can do it.
Cuba is a communist country.
You fiend. Batwoman, are you interested in the character at all?
I don't know. Maybe.
Is it going to make you pick up 52 anymore to find out, you know, exactly why?
I'm already
picking
up 52, so does
okay.
it matter?
Well, I'm saying, like, are you going to be eagerly anticipating the revelation behind this Kathy Kane character? Because she's been in Batman before. Yeah, if I remember correctly, she actually is a former love interest of Montoya. You know, now she's going to be Batwoman, which is actually sort of funny because you would think if anybody's going to be Batwoman, it would be Montoya. So is Montoya going to get jealous?
Bruce is definitely going to turn him back straight.
Really?
my money. I bet you Boos hooked up with Ray Montoya.
No, I highly doubt that.
Yo, he's a man.
You are the man who would think anything about
him
Bruce
and Nightwing.
Wayne.
You'll get around like you wouldn't believe, man.
Well, all right, you know that much I'll give you. Because
Nightwing, you know,
Nightwing gets around like any like nobody else, man.
More butt than a toilet seat in a woman's bathroom, man.
Oh, ho! Oh my God! You know, I remember when the show used to have class.
What was that?
I remember when
was
the
that
show
Marvin was on? Because I don't think so.
Wow, that's
I don't think so.
Brian, I gotta tell you, man, I love you, man. You're great. I love you, but I'll break your face. That's all I gotta say.
Get out of my face.
Let's get back to being serious here.
Let's get serious about being geeky. Okay,
exactly. Tell me about it. You know, all right, Batwoman. Okay. Just to mention this one more time here to see if maybe we'll actually get a conversation out of this without you know, segueing off to
something else. Am I interested in Batwoman? Is that what you're trying to say?
Are you interested in Batwoman?
Not really. I hate to break it to you.
Really?
But I'm, at the same time, it's sort of like one of those things that, you know what, I'll let the chips fall where they may. I mean, I'm going to pick up that issue because I'm already picked up 52.
Out of everything in 52, what interests you the most then?
Because
obviously,
Adam.
Black Adam. Right?
Black Adam is the man.
Okay. So, is it just because of what he's doing, or is it? Did you?
I thought he was awesome in JSA, and then when I heard he was going to be 52, and I heard about what role he was playing, I was like, all right, let's do it. Let's go for it.
I could see that.
And he's just, I mean, you got to admit, he's turned out to be just a major character, and what he's doing is just.
Is the Batwoman storyline on the bottom of your list, or in the middle of your list when it comes to 52? This is going to be issue 11, so that's actually a couple months from now.
Issue 11? Yeah. I don't know.
Well, actually, not too many months from now. It's only about, this is issue 4.
It's like
4,
a few weeks away from now.
Yeah, I keep forgetting that. Holy crap.
You know, it comes out every week, man.
It comes out every week. It's like 24,
it's
only
like,
it's week.
It's like 3 weeks from now, but.
It's weeks instead of days. That's it. You know, or weeks instead of hours, that is. You know, although, by the way, I have been really liking 52 now, I got to say. And I'll talk more about that on Comic Timing because we're actually going to have a recap of the first 4 issues probably once we
Booster Gold
to sit
sold
down.
Out. And another thing I love about Booster Gold is a sellout. So, you know what? I'm not excited about the Batgirl story. Batwoman story. I'm not looking forward to it. But, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying, you know what? I'm not actually against it either.
Okay.
So, you know, it's in the middle of the list. Like, you know, I think it'll be done right.
I certainly hope it is. And you know what? Also, well, one thing that's important here, just because, and I'm sure that this will be the case, don't put the lesbianism on top of the character of Batwoman, okay?
Let it
be a part of the character. Don't make it the entire character.
You don't have to worry about that because Judd Winnick's not right here.
Well, exactly. But no, I mean, Judd Winnick has written tasteful gay characters.
But everyone is gay when he writes them.
Kyle wasn't gay.
But Connor Hawke came close. You could I thought for a minute that Connor was going to come out to Oliver.
Dude,
Queen.
He was a monk. Exactly.
Connor Hawke was
all
close.
Right. All right. Well, that was the reason why he was to us the way he was acting seemed gay, but no, it was because he was a monk. It made perfect sense.
It made sense.
Come on, it made sense.
What I'm worried about is this: that they're going to introduce Batwoman, make a big deal about her, and then 1 year from now she's gonna be obscure, gone.
You think?
You've seen it happen so many times.
Well, do you think she's going to end up dead by the end of 52?
Nah.
Okay, because we haven't seen her yet.
No, I mean, not dead, but I mean, like, let's say, like, a year from now or 2 years from now, like, the character's going to be all but forgotten because, the crossover's over.
Well, also, what I do like is that basically every character that's appearing in 52 is not going to end up in the regular comic books for a long time after that, from what I'm hearing.
Pretty cool.
It's not going to happen until 52's over. So we're not going to know what happened to Montoya, basically, until 52's over. Mm-hmm. We're not going to know what happened to Batwoman until 52's over, which is actually a good idea, because if you randomly had the question show up in Batman now, while his story is being told, it's going to weaken the story.
Yeah.
You know? But, I'd like to see Batwoman as a full-fledged character, not just the token gay. All right? No. I'm being serious here when I say that because there have been way too many books out there. I mean, Montoya is a perfect example of a lesbian character done right, okay? There have been other characters out there that have been revealed as lesbian or have been revealed as gay that end up being just the gay guy. Manhunter, there's a gay character that actually is played really well. Do you pick up Manhunter?
No.
Okay, all right.
No.
Because I only started picking it up recently, and I'm upset
to find
it. I know. It figures. As soon as I started picking it up, it's canceled.
Good for you.
The Thing canceled. You know, people didn't pull his thing enough, so obviously that's the reason why
it happened.
Did you
just say people didn't pull his thing enough?
That was the slogan, dude. Pull my thing. That was the slogan.
And you get on me for saying controversial.
Dude,
okay.
That was this freaking slogan, for God's sakes.
Okay, sure.
All right. Anyway, Batwoman, be good, okay? Be good, please.
Don't suck.
Or whatever you do.
Well, she can't. She's a lesbian.
And that is quite possibly the most controversial moment of this entire episode. That's it, Brian. You're fired. It's wind-up time here on GeekSpeak, where I switch things over from the geek side of things to the sports side of things, and we're back to baseball this week.
Oh, yeah. Well, surprise, surprise.
Because I know how much you like baseball, Brian.
I love baseball. It was America's pastime in 1957. And wow. Back in the good old days of segregation, I don't know what the hell.
All right, I'll give you this much, okay? It's not nearly as popular as it used to be, I'll give you that much, okay? But you have to give me that it's more popular today than it was back in the early 90s.
Probably.
Okay, like back in 92.
But is it popular for the right reasons?
I would say so. At this point.
Even with all these allegations coming out?
Pitching is better than it ever was, okay?
Yeah, okay, you're right about that.
The hitting is back to being actual hitting and not steroid juice, okay, for most people.
Oh, it's getting there now.
It's getting there. Certainly getting there. Because, again, it took Tomei a couple of years to get back. It took Giambi a couple of years to get back. It took Thomas a couple of years to get back. But they're all back now, you know, except for Barry Bonds will never be the same.
Well, the thing you said about pitching was interesting because now, I mean, you look at it now, a lot of it favors the hitters.
Exactly. And actually, the main thing I want to talk about on this windup is pitching. One pitcher in particular, Roger Clemens.
The Rocket.
The Rocket. The man who probably cannot make up his mind nearly as much as Donald Trump when it comes to the wallpaper for his office. Okay? This guy, you know he has money. Roger Clemens. You know it's not about the money at this point.
No, it's not.
Because if it was about the money...
Well, money-wise, it's easier for him not to play anymore.
Exactly. I mean, you know, he has enough money where he'd just be able to take it all to the side and have enough education, money for his kids... Have enough money to, you know, get a house in the suburbs and just relax over there. But then again, he lives in Houston, so there are no suburbs. And just relax. That's it. You know, go to his ranch and just retire. But this man doesn't know the meaning of the word retire. Because every single time he tries, he comes back 6 months later. What is wrong with this guy?
Well, he can still get it done.
Of course he can still get it done. But you have to realize, just because you can get it done doesn't mean you should come back. This is not me being the Yankee apologist that I am, okay? Because I know right away people are going to say that. No, I want to see a guy like Roger Clemens retire before his time is up.
So you basically don't want him to pull Michael Jordan.
I don't want him to pull Michael Jordan and come back one too many times, okay? Because you know Michael Jordan did that. Yeah. He should never come back from the Wizards in the first place because he was not the same guy anymore.
Well, that brings up another point. Do we criticize him for that? Because this is his decision at the end of the day. It's his prerogative.
It's his decision. It's his prerogative. And but as... the head of the Houston Astros, okay? If I was the head of the Houston Astros, I would have told him, Roger, I want to thank you for all of your contributions. However, for your sake, I am not going to allow you back on this team.
What do you mean by for your sake?
For your sake. Because I do not want to see this man go one step too far and end up injured or crippled for the rest of his career.
But that's his decision, man.
I know that it's his decision.
And if you're the head of the Astros...
And you know what? He's not the first. Because, again, Ricky Henderson tried to come back so many freaking times. You know, even after...
He did come back so many times.
He did. And he's still playing in the Independent League, if I remember correctly. Jose Canseco still tries to play.
Oh, God.
But it's because these guys don't know how to do anything else in their lives. His family obviously told him it's a right to come back. Because he would not be doing this if his family did not say okay.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Because you know he's a family man.
He's a family man, but like I said before, same thing with him and with Jordan, anyone else, it's their decision at the end of the day.
Because they were stars their entire lives, they think that they will be stars their entire lives. No matter what they do.
Jordan analogy is bad because he came back, he wasn't that great.
Yes,
Roger Clemens could still get it done.
But what did Michael Jordan think? He still thought he was Michael Jordan. He still thought that if he came back, he would be able to lead this team to stardom. And what happened? They floundered. Okay? With Roger Clemens, he is still good. He is still great. I will give you that much. And I will give Roger Clemens that much. But I do not think he will be able to last much longer than this season. If he tries to come back again.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
If he tries to come back again, which I know he will. Okay? If he decides, you know what, maybe this season proves something, maybe I can still do it, he's going to realize... Just like Randy Johnson is realizing this season, maybe I'm not as good as I used to be. Maybe it's time for me to hang it up. Maybe it's time for me to move on and retire to that ranch because I'm not good enough anymore. You have to realize that. When you're a baseball player, you have to know when enough is enough.
Well, when you're a sports player in general.
When you're a sports player in general, you need to know when enough is enough. Troy Aikman knew. Troy Aikman retired.
He had to retire. I mean, well, he had concussions up the wazoo.
Yes, but he could have came back.
Yes.
You know that because so many people have. Okay.
Barry Sanders.
He knew when enough was enough. Because honestly, he retired before his prime even.
No, he was in his prime.
A lot of people say he could have been even
well,
better.
Well, he said it himself. I couldn't take not being in the playoffs anymore.
Exactly. So he retired. Similarly, you've got people like Dan Marino, who never made it to the Super Bowl. And yet he knew when enough was enough.
Yeah, he knew when enough was enough.
He knew when enough was enough. He knew he wouldn't be able to do it anymore. Brett Favre doesn't know when enough is enough.
Brett Favre doesn't know anything.
Michael Jordan didn't know when enough was enough. Okay? Dennis Rodman knew when enough was enough. Thank God. But guys like Roger Clemens will never know until it's too late. And for that, even though he has all the money in the world, I kind of feel a bit sorry
for him. Well, how much blame do you place on the front office of the Astros?
Honestly, I put a lot of the blame on them for even thinking about getting him back. Okay? Because again, I understand that they want to make their team better, but in the end, they're going to make their team worse because they're putting the washed-up veteran, who's not quite washed up yet, but might be getting there, in front of your young stars. And that is a major mistake. The Yankees have learned that in the past, and I think Houston's going to learn that come next season if they let Roger Clemens come back again. You can only go to the well so many times before it goes dry. His well is very close to being dry. That was a windup. Now here's the pitch every single Monday here on Brooklyn College Radio. Back this upcoming Monday from, I believe it's going to be from 4 to 6 here on Brooklyn College Radio, 1090 AM, and streaming the web at brooklyncollegeradio.org. You can hear me, Ian Levenstein, along with Jason Green, the ghost of Michael Hornstein, the ghost of the 3 o'clock hour, and the ghost of my college career come the end of the summer on the Sporting Goods. The email address for GeekSpeak is speakgeekspeak@gmail.com. That's speakgeekspeak@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out those forums over at speakgeekspeak.com/forums. That's FORUMS. I want to thank the Podshow Podsafe Network for my music over at music.podshow.com. I want to thank Anamanaguchi for the music he's contributed to the show as well. You can check him out over at myspace.com/Anamanaguchi.
And I want to thank Deluxe, Jeffrey Tosser, Pixie Tricks, Shonen Samurai, and Zircon for the opening and closing theme to the show. And you can find their work and a whole lot more over at ocremix.org.
Brian, thanks for joining me again, you bastard.
You're welcome, you bum.
Thank you very much. And I promise next episode will be a bit more sane, at least I hope so, because also I just came back from Massachusetts. I'm very, very tired.
Boo-hoo. It's the same time zone.
I know it's the same time zone, dude, but you try and be in a bus for 4 hours and expect to be perfectly fine the next day. I was going stir crazy. Come on. I read Ex Machina to pass the time, which, by the way, is great. All right? But still, I'm on a bus for 4 hours doing nothing but listening to an MP3 player and reading comics. I know that that's my day usually, but oh wait, you know, on second thought, I have no reason. I have no reason. I'm Ian Levenstein. Have a great week. Enjoy your geek. Take care, everybody. I will see you next week. And again, don't forget to listen to Comic Timing at speakgeekspeak.com/comic timing. Gotta plug myself. Bye bye.
Yeah.
Swedish police. Wow, that was the worst pronunciation of Swedish police I've ever done in my life. Wow, that's mispronounced and misspelled. And I'm wondering why your mic is so low. Talking to.
No.
Yeah.
Boston.
It's very, very odd that your microphone is still so low.
Test 1-2 Boston. Boston.
Okay, you can't test your microphone by saying Boston. All right.
Sibilance.
Anyway, yeah, voice over the internet.
Okay, there we go. That's a bit louder there. The man, the myth, the leaven. What the hell? The leaven bread.
The
fantastic. Leaven tea. To advertising, because I can't talk.
Customers.
To advertising customers. For the wind up, I got to talk to Clemens.
Oh, he's back on the Astros.
Yeah.
Woo.
I'm totally lowering your mic. Okay.
Okay.
Try it again.
Okay. Hi.
That's good.
My name is Luca, and I live on the second floor.
My name is Luca. I live on the second floor.
That was about a kid getting beat up, right?
I believe it was actually
his child abuse.
I think so. Yeah.
Boston.
The views expressed by Brian Barrientos are not necessarily the views expressed by GeekSpeak or any of its partners. We don't have any yet.